Please take your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 through 17 this morning. Let's ask God's blessing on our time here. Father, we thank you for your word, its truth that we need for life and godliness, the instruction we need to be reminded of regularly. And as we take the time to do that here this morning, I pray that you would challenge us through your word, that we would remember what we need to, and that it would stick with us throughout life, calling it to mind in those times when we are tempted to doubt your goodness, tempted to doubt who you are, and forget what we are called to do. And I pray that you would use this passage this morning in our lives to challenge and encourage us, make us more like Jesus. I pray in his name. Amen. I've entitled my message this morning, Needed Reminders. Needed Reminders. A couple months ago, I realized, after like the second or third time of forgetting to mail in my Menards rebates before the due date, that I probably should put a reminder in my phone. You know, I like to do that. I know I've explained this. I use Google Calendar, and I put reminders and stuff in there as well as the events and things. And you know what? It actually works because especially, you know, that sinking feeling you have when you realize you just lost a bunch of money because you forgot to do something, that's not a great feeling. Now, my friend Agnes at Menards, I do have met friends at Menards, I will admit it. She says, go ahead and mail them in anyway. They sometimes honor that. So, you know, it's worth trying, but you know, sometimes we need reminders on some of these things, right? This passage this morning in 2 Peter 1, 12 through 15 communicates Peter's conviction that Christians need reminders to keep listening and growing in the Lord. A week ago, we learned how to feel saved by heeding the exhortations to keep growing in your faith. As we acquire more, first has to be ours, and then get more and more of it, that we would not be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord. This or you want to shorthand it, know, grow, and show, for those of you who like those kinds of mnemonic devices to remember. Otherwise, we can end up feeling short-sighted or blind. We think we're even unsaved, we forget that we've been cleansed from our old sins. So we will doubt our salvation if we're not growing in the Lord. So there's a very practical benefit for this. And then to keep gaining your rewards, as we saw, we were to be diligent to make sure, through growing, of our call and election. This is from our perspective, not God's, as we saw, you know, as we would become more confident so that we would never stumble. Not that we would never sin, but that we would never irretrievably fall. God is the one who keeps us from that, but that we would more and more walk steadily or securely in our relationship with Christ, having gaining more and more confidence. And then when we get to heaven, we have an abundant entrance. We have lots of rewards as we enter heaven. Not that we gain heaven, but that we because of how we've served now, we lay up eternal reward that God promises into the everlasting kingdom of Christ. It's his kingdom. We want to be a part of that. And as we first trust in Christ, then we get busy growing in the Lord, adding to our faith. We have more and more to show. And ultimately, we will, you know, we can hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, as we enter into our rest. Now, Peter goes on to communicate the need to be continually reminded of these things. It's the verses 5 through 7, you know, the need to keep growing. To be established in the truth, and from his teachings, I mean, we can learn what the needed reminders are, and by getting three reminders that he gives us in these verses. The word remind is a key word. It shows up in verse 12, verse 13, verse 15. And as Peter, as one of the responsibilities of an elder or pastor, as he's talked about in 1 Peter chapter 5, is to communicate the truth, to remind, to instruct. And so he's doing that here. This is coming from one who knows what it's like to forget. If you remember the details of Peter's life, There came a point where he denied Christ three times because he was more focused on what people were thinking than remembering the truth that God had instructed him in. He had walked for 3.5 years with Jesus, the Son of God. And he doesn't want others to go through that experience where you forget what God has done for you. And so he's taking time to say, this is important, pay attention, is basically what he's saying here. Okay, if you want to summarize, it's a big point of today. Right? Remember. So first reminder is to remember to listen before. Verse 12, for this reason I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. So he's referring to how they've already learned this, but I want to reinforce that. I want to keep you mindful of that. This, for this reason, it goes back to verses 8 through 10, right? So that they wouldn't doubt their salvation, they wouldn't get to that point, but instead, they would remember. So he is intentional to remind them, like Paul does in Romans chapter 15, verses 14 and 15, how he reminds instructs the Romans, or in Philippians 3, you know, this is right that we do this. Jude does this in verse 5 of his epistle. He says, I want to remind you always of these things, right? That they would remember how they need to keep growing, verses 5 through 7, and the negative consequences if you don't, verses 8 through 10. They know this and are established, even, it says, in the present truth. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, it says, but may the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered a while, perfect, establish, and strengthen you. Right? God is working in there. They're getting more and more solid in their growth. The truth. It's what corresponds to reality. They're living more and more in this. But he wants to solidify them even more. John in 1 John 2, verse 21, similarly states, you know, I know you know this. I just want to tell you one more time, right? Like, you just need to make sure. Because in the next chapter, he's going to deal with the false teaching that is heading their way, and he wants to make sure they're not swayed by that. So remember to listen before. It's kind of like we do with our kids. When we are kind of getting to a place, or you know, we're driving home, this often happens, especially after prayer meeting on Wednesday night, it's like, okay, when we get home, here's what you need to do, right? You need to go up, you need to make sure you know, get ready for bed, you know, if they have some cleaning up to do, they have to do that and get ready so that, you know, we don't come in the door and find you playing in your room or whatever it is, right? We try to help them out, or this is, you know, go take a shower, whatever it is. You preemptively try to help them so that they would listen before you even get there, right? Have you listened to reminders already given before to grow? Are you thankful those who cared enough, those who love you, right? Those in your life that speak truth into your life in a loving way, they to seek to establish you in the truth so you'll not be soon swayed when confronted by false teaching. Your parents, your pastor, right? We're to bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Pastor's a responsibility. I care for your soul. I'm doubly accountable. Your teachers, your professors, those that truly care about you, not the ones that are going to take advantage of you, but the ones that really do the true care. Are you listening to them? Are you heeding their teaching, their warnings? Or do you ignore it, discount it as, you know, what do they know about? They're old and they're over 40, right? They're irrelevant. I mean, that's what people used to think. We do this and we don't listen to those who have taught us before. Have you remembered to listen before? First reminder. Second reminder, remember to listen now. Verses 13 and 14 says, yes, I think it's right, as long as I'm in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. He says, I think it's right. I consider this. Paul, or Peter, is saying, you know, I've thought about this. I really am thinking this is in your best interest. Paul does this in Philippians chapter 1, verse 7. He says, I really think this is the right thing. As long as I am in this tent, that means as long as I'm still alive, he's using the tent metaphor, which is an apt illustration for our lives, right? I mean, it's a temporary thing. The Bible compares our lives to a vapor, to grass, to flowers, things that are short. It's only for a short time. A tent you set up, and then you tear it down, right? Or a tabernacle, however you want to call that. I mean, Paul has talked about how Peter, back in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, he called them, as Christians, he says, sojourners and pilgrims. Paul, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, focuses our attention on our citizenship is in heaven, right? We're just temporary dwelling here. That's part of the faith of Hebrews chapter 11, is that they're looking for an eternal city. And Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob dwelt in tents because they were ultimately looking for the promise of God. It's a great picture for us. The one who is going to transform our lowly body, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, uses this illustration, a tent of putting on. We desire to be, you know, put off our tent, not to be unclothed, but to be further clothed, to get our eternal dwelling. This should be our desire, and as Peter, especially approaching the end of his life, realizes this more and more, he says, what do I need to do? I want to stir you up. Literally, I want to arouse you completely or wake you up totally. Wake up! Chapter 3, verse 1, he's going to say this again. He says, beloved, I write now to you the second epistle, in both which I stir you up your pure minds by way of reminder. So how is he stirring up? Remember what God has done for you. Remember this truth. Remember what you've been taught. Listen. He says, Paul says this to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:6, to stir up the gift that is in you. Because he knows the time is short. Verse 14, knowing that shortly, it's imminent, I must put off my tent. He's talking about his death. Right? Like Paul says, I'm at the end of my life. 2 Corinthians 4:6. Even Jesus talking about his death in John 13:36. Jesus, who had given instruction to Peter that his life would end abruptly. In John 21, verses 18 through 19, in the discussion there, if he abides until I come, talking about John, and after he's told Peter, when you get old, you're going to be carried places you don't want to go. And tradition tells us that Peter was crucified upside down at his own request because he felt unworthy to die the same way Christ did under the persecutions of Emperor Nero. Most likely, Peter is writing from Rome in these epistles to encourage people in the face of persecution, and here specifically dealing with false teaching as well. He knows his death is imminent, just as Christ has told us. And so he wants others to be prepared. He wants them to remember what he has taught. Remember to listen now. When we're talking to our kids and want them to pay attention right in the moment, one of the things we say is, look at me. Right? You want their eyes, because if their eyes are looking at you, hopefully you have a better chance, not always true, but better chance of it actually, you know, connecting and remembering. You want them to pay attention in the moment. Are you listening to the reminders given now to grow? Are you seeking to pay attention to the instructions, the warnings of your parents, your pastor, your teachers? Those that are giving you while they're still alive and in your life. This is the time to learn. Too often we're focused on the future, not the now. And I saw this happen often. People wasted opportunities right in front of them. School is an opportunity. You get out of it what you put into it, right? Your education. Now that's true any time in your life. You're learning. Whether it's in a formal setting, like school or college, or even Sunday school or Bible study. Those are times to pay attention. This isn't the time for a nap. I know it's tempting at times, right? You know, we all get a little sleepy. You know, that's why we try to keep it comfortable in here and try to keep it, you know, so the easiest, remove the distractions so you can pay your attention and focus on what God says. Don't waste it. Do you realize that one day you will wish you could hear their wisdom and you won't be able to because they've passed on, like Peter? Don't you wish you could talk to Peter, talk to Paul, some of those, right? God has given you people in your life right now to talk to you. Listen to them. Do you approach church and Bible study this way? Are we ready to learn, to take notes, study to show yourself approved, a workman who needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth? You show up ready to work. This isn't a passive thing. This is an active. That's why I like our Bible studies, because you have homework. Right? And when you do things, you actually get more out of it. James 1, 21 through the end of the chapter says, you know, don't be hearers of the word, or just hearers, but doers of the word, right? Don't be like that guy who, the adolescent teenager, or boy who looks at himself in the mirror and says, yep, there's something wrong with my hair, and walks away, right? Sees the dirt and doesn't do anything about it. Don't be like that. Instead, we should hear what God has to say. Be, you know, the word that is able to save us and cleanse us. And we'll be blessed if we do. Do we view them that way? Or do we view them as duties, merely social times? If you do that, you'll end up with church as a form of godliness, but deny its power, as 2 Timothy 3:5. It doesn't save. It has no effect. It's not mixed with faith. You're not really putting into it what you need to gain from it. Are you remembering to listen now? And then the third, remember to listen later in verse 15. Moreover, I will also be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. Now, some would try to say, well, that was the Gospel of Mark. Because the Gospel of Mark is most likely Peter's testimony. There's not really enough here to say for sure that that is. He wants them to make sure they remember. He's going to make every effort. He's going to be careful. Is literally the idea here, to make every effort to. To ensure that they will always have a reminder, a memory, a remembrance of these things. Right? To remember how you need to grow after his decease, he says. Literally, it's his departure, his exodus even, as it's sometimes translated. It's interesting, Jesus uses this word in Luke chapter 9, verse 31, on the Mount of Transfiguration. He's talking to his disciples about his departure. Which, what does Peter say? Well, let's build some tents. Right? Peter, tents, context, all right? Maybe that's part of what he's thinking. The point is that there would be testimony beyond him, much like Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, where Abel, even though he's dead, still speaks. His testimony lives on. Remember to listen later. We're seeking to teach our kids now so that they will remember when they're out of the house and after we're gone. Think of some of my own dad's instructions. A lot of them have been his quotes. Things like, if you're given while you're living, then you're known where it's going. Or if your outgo is more than your income, then your upkeep is your downfall. I know those aren't original with him, but I think this one is. A thing is only as good as it's made and maintained. As a builder, both figuratively and literally. Some of you maybe remember his reflections on 40 plus years of ministry back in 2020 when he was with us. He shared some of the lessons. There's 52 plus some bonus things. And if anyone wants, there's copies of those on the side table. But just some good reminders from my dad. You know, instructions that I need to remember. I think it's good for all of us to remember. So that when he's gone, we'll still continue to remember what God says through the life of that man. Will you listen to reminders later to keep growing? Are you accumulating memories now so that you'll be constantly reminded of the truth in the future when you need it? Think about it as a spiritual scrapbook. Things like your sermon notes, class notes, Bible study books, charts, quotes. Those are good to accumulate because they help you to remember later. And the Back of my Bible, I keep a few of these. One being our covenant. Another is the stabilizing truths for noisy souls, the knowledge of God. This is from Quieting Noisy Soul. But it's God is good, God is great, and all that that means. And I pull that out at times to remind me of who our God is. And we have those over there on the side rack and give those away to help people. Another one is the desktop reminder card of the peacemaking principles. You know, and what is a true confession? The seven A's of confession, the four promises forgiveness, the four principles of peacemaking. I want to remember those things. I mean, yeah, I went through those study materials and things, but they don't do me any good if I don't remember it. We can do it in other ways. We can put verses on our walls. Our house, we have, as you know, the Joshua 24:15. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Maybe you have that. We have another one, 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient for you. When I'm weak, then he is strong, right? We need reminders. It's good to surround yourself with those things. Keep them in your Bible or wherever. Plaster them, you know, on your mirrors, whatever. So that you remember those truths later, what God has taught you. I have bookmarks. I mean, there's a multitude of ways that we can be reminded of the truth at a later point in life. Write it down. And then if you're a parent and teacher, are you helping your kids or students to accumulate these memories? Give them in ways that are helpful. I've benefited from that over the years. And think about how you can communicate that. Will you remember to listen later? I've learned I need to schedule many things in my life, schedule reminders of them, I should say. Even things like picking my child up from school. Normally my wife does that, especially the youngest. And there's been times, it's really embarrassing when the school has to like call you and remind you that your son needs to be picked up. And you're like, ah, yeah, my wife told me to. And now I forgot. So I have reminders in my phone at times. Drop Zach off, pick Zach up, right? Drop Tara off, pick up. You know, it's great when they can ride their own bikes. It's like, whew, I don't have to remember that anymore. And then it rains. And then you got to do all that. Right? We do that for simple things. What about spiritual things? Do you see the need for reminders to keep growing in the Lord? Have you remembered to listen before? Are you remembering to listen now? And will you remember to listen later? Will you heed the needed reminders to grow? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for these reminders. Help us to live in light of them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.